Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus was approached by a nobleman and performed for him a miracle. But though Jesus was only beginning to be known for his miracles, according to St. John, he was already showing something like resistance to the request. Rather than just saying yes, Jesus said, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Thomas Merton, who in years past was a great hero of mine, wrote a book entitled No Man is an Island. And one of my favorite lines that he penned in that work begins with the following comforting thought. He says, We cannot avoid missing the point of almost everything we do. That was so comforting when I first read that. It's comforting to hear a spiritual thinker of the 20th century say something like that, because I believe it's a secret inner thought of a lot of people about life. With a relentless and constant pace, I don't believe that time goes fast or goes slow, but time is going on relentlessly, and we are, ready or not, dragged along and peppered through our days with a steady stream of experiences, largely related to responsibilities which have been thrust upon us and for which we have almost no choice but to respond. Wake up, eat breakfast, have shower, get dressed, go to work, complete tasks, eat lunch, have supper, grocery shopping, clean house, fill fuel tank, doctor's appointment, dentist appointment, pay insurance, repair toilet, feed dog, watch television, get ready for bed. Not infrequently, in the midst of this, many of us feel like saying, What in the world is going on? How did that day turn into a week? How did that week turn into a month? And the next logical question, how did that month turn into 20 years? I'm always reminded of a golden piece of wisdom that one of our cherished, now departed members, Carl Countryman, said. He said, aging is something that happens gradually and you realize suddenly. How many of us have gotten not only to the end of a day, but to the end of a year and looked at ourselves in the mirror asking, what just happened? Thomas Merton's statement about the inevitability of missing the point of almost everything that happens to us is comforting, not because it's a great thing to miss the point, but because at least we could admit that not alone, but together, we are often, as a community even, missing the point. But since we've discussed two of my favorite quotes, one from Thomas Merton, one from Carl Countryman, let's make it a round three. By considering what's going on today, contemplating a statement by Father H.A. Wilson, who, as our own bishop reminds priests often, this man exhausted himself in service to the poor in London's slums over a century ago. And he said, The ministry of the Catholic priest is to pull back the veil between heaven and earth and to hide himself in the folds. To draw back the curtain between God and man is an image of the role of a priest and, in turn, that of the church. To provide opportunity in the midst of even confusion, a moment of clarity. The church is to be a place where the work of the week is set aside for a moment and transferred into a corporate work of the people of God. The very meaning of the word liturgy is work, the work of the people, where together we train our eyes, we attune our ears, we ready our souls. We use our voices and our bodies to participate in an act that is as clear a vision of God as has been granted to us. We not only see this vision and hear this revelation, we participate in it. We offer our souls and our bodies in turn, taking God into ourselves. And while something like this can hardly be fully understood, indeed it passes understanding, by God's grace, we will not, in the end, miss the point. In the second miracle of Christ's public ministry, as recorded by St. John, we can hear in the words of Jesus something of his divine perspective on the tension between the curtain being drawn back between God and man and our propensity for missing the point. Jesus encounters a certain nobleman who has a son who was sick at Capernaum. Now we learn here just a few obvious things which are nevertheless worthy of note. He was a nobleman, which means he was a person of means and a person of some authority. He's used to having the power of the purse, and he's used to having the power of his position. But his money and his position were of no use for a problem that was presented with him now. His son was at the point of death. Most of us in this room have known something of sickness, and most of us here have known something of death. And in so many of those circumstances, you know that money isn't going to help you. In many of those circumstances, a position of authority isn't going to help you. Money and position in those circumstances are useless. Because of this, when nothing else can do it, sickness and death sometimes will get our attention. And we turn to God. This nobleman, who does not even receive a name in the scriptures, just a certain nobleman, he had his wake-up call and he ran to the prophet for help, a well-established pattern throughout the scriptures. And Jesus said something not cold, but a little chilly. A man comes to plead with him for the life of his son, and Jesus says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And right there, that's the moment. I was not present on that day, but I can almost promise you there was an awkward pause. Because the man proceeds as if he hadn't heard that statement of our Lord. The man who pleaded with Jesus for his son thought to himself, "What in the world are you talking about? I suppose that means that you have some other agenda. Jesus, I want my son to be healed and you want me to believe. In fact, you want me to believe without my son being healed? Well, I'm sorry, but my priorities are a little preoccupied with something at the moment. We can deal with belief later. I want what I want, and I want it now." And there's the tension. Jesus himself is the curtain drawn back between God and man. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. But this man wants to be elsewhere. You remember St. Thomas, who finally saw the resurrected Christ after the other disciples, whose report he did not trust. After placing his fingers in the wounds of Jesus, he would say not, "Wow, you really are resurrected." He would say instead, "My Lord and my God." The curtain was drawn back. He finally saw just who he was standing before. Jesus would say to St. Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." But this certain nobleman could not fall at Jesus' feet to say, "My Lord and my God." He could only say, "Help me, help me, help me. Something more important is going on at home." And our Lord, whose property is always to have mercy, granted the certain nobleman the desire of his heart, and his son was healed. But the hesitation of our Lord was not because he did not want a son to be healed, but because that healing would potentially solidify the nobleman in his attachment to all of his changing circumstances in this confusing life as time drags us along. The nobleman had stood in the presence of God and was missing the point. The boy was healed. Hallelujah. The man inquired as to the time of the healing, and indeed he figured out that it was at the moment of Jesus' healing words when the boy began to amend. And after having done his calculations, after having received sufficient proof, after having received sufficient benefit for his faithful request and his effort, then the scriptures reveal the happy result. He himself believed and his whole house. But what would happen to his belief if he had another need? the following month, the following year, and that need was not met so immediately, not resolved so promptly. The property of our Lord is always to have mercy. And so he provided the healing that the nobleman requested, but there was some notable hesitation. We cannot help but miss the point of almost everything that happens in our lives, but once in a while, the curtain is drawn back and we get a glimpse. The curtain is drawn back between God and man now. And before us, in the liturgy that we participate in, is a vision that should leave us speechless. And suddenly, richer or poorer, for sickness or in health, better or worse, matters no longer. The bride meets the bridegroom, and the two, Christ and the church, are made one. When we finally stand face to face with our Lord, there will be countless things that we will feel foolish about. Why did I care about those things so much? We'll ask ourselves. Why did I say those things? Why did I do those things? Why was I so worried? Why was I so hesitant? Why was it so hard for me to believe? Why did I allow myself to hate those people? Why did I feel so justified, so self-righteous, so indignant? It will be inevitable that the day of that meeting will be an absolute outpouring of repentance, a day of genuflection and oblation, a day of communion, and a day of worship. But you know what? Here we are. No time like the present. The curtain is drawn back today. What prevents us from making today the day of salvation? Instead of anticipating a day of humility and worship and awe sometime in the distant future, why not just go ahead and do it now? Let us see that the God whose property is always to have mercy is having mercy on us right now. Let us see that the Lord who asks us to offer ourselves is offering himself right now. Let us understand that the one who sighed about the nobleman's limited vision is sighing about our limited vision right now. And while it is perhaps impossible for us not to miss the point of almost everything that happens to us, let us not miss the point of this holy communion. He shares his life with us. Let us share our lives with him. Let us believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.